Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Hallelujah. Was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you see today? Amen. You may be seated for a moment. I just want to talk to you for a minute before we turn the service over to Brother Samuel, Brother Sam. Appreciate him coming and being with us today. Amen. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
You know, I realized this morning that, you know, God has been so good to us.
Amen.
I feel that way in my heart. I feel like the Lord has done so much for me. And Brother Sam and I were talking about when David said in the Psalms, "If thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand?"
Amen.
No one would stand. But there's mercy with the Lord.
Amen.
See, that's why we come and we want God's mercy. Because if we get justice, if we get what we deserve, literally, none of us are going to make it.
Amen.
None of us. How do we make it? By amazing grace.
Amen.
That God gives to us. We don't deserve that. See, so if you're a Christian and you've been saved, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and you see God working in your life, and He's giving you revelation, He's showing you things that are wrong, He's pulling you away to things that are right, that's the grace of God.
Amen.
And we're no better than someone out there in the world that doesn't know God. We're not better than Him. We've been saved by the grace of God. We would be just doing the same things people in the world doing. If the Holy Ghost would have left us alone, we'd be out there in the world somewhere. But it was the grace of God that came to us. And Jesus said, "No man comes to me unless my Father draw him." Is that right? No man comes to me unless my Father draw him. He said, "You didn't choose me. I chose you." Praise God. Do you realize that? And so many years ago, we started a Bible study. I think it was about 1991. Maureen was converted in 1990. And the Lord touched me when I was 21 in 1987, March 1st, 1987. I remember where I was. I remember exactly where I was when He touched me.
Amen.
I didn't understand what was happening at the time. But that experience drew me to the Bible, and then in the Bible, I saw what had happened to me. See? When a baby's born, do they understand everything? No. They have to grow. And then they learn and understand. So God does things for us, and we don't fully understand. But when we go to the Word, the Spirit over our life and the Word in our life starts to explain to us what happened, who we are, where we came from, and where we're going.
Amen.
And the Bible has all that. And I wanted to mention that because we are witnesses here. We're not just here saying, "I'm saved, me and my four and no more." No, we want other people to be saved. We want other people to have access to the Word of God. We give away Bibles here as a church.
Amen.
And I remember we used to give away less expensive Bibles. They were not as nice. They were not as good quality. And that was very short-sighted, because then I saw someone had took one of them and was using it and was falling apart after a year or so. And I felt bad. I said, "You know what? If we're going to give away Bibles, we're going to give away good Bibles.
Hey.
We're going to give away Bibles that we would want to have." And so we give away a Scofield Bible.
Amen.
No charge. The only thing we ask is that you read it.
Amen.
Right? That's not asking a lot, right?
Amen.
So We have a few left today of the Scofield Bibles, but I'm going to get more. We're going to get more of the English Bibles. We're going to get more of the Spanish Bibles, and we're going to get more of the bilingual Bibles.
Amen.
And you here, if you have a Bible, that's fine. But if you know somebody that doesn't have one, you just take one.
Amen.
And you give it to them.
Amen.
You don't have to ask me. The things that are here are for people to feed. And we're here to be witnesses to people that don't have as much light, maybe. Not that we're better, but God has given us light, and we want to share the light. You know, so when we started a Bible study, there was no desire at all to be a pastor, Brother Sam. Brother Sanger, he's going to Brother Sanger's after this in this week. Brother Sanger was my pastor at the time, and I told him, I said, well, I feel like the Lord wants me to do something in the Philadelphia area. And I didn't say I was going to be a pastor. I was just starting a Bible study. He said, well, let me tell you, brother. You know how brother just shakes his head like that. It ain't easy being a pastor. And I'm not going to be a pastor. I'm just having a Bible study, you know. Little did I know. I usually say God tricked me into it. But, you know, we complain, but it's the grace of God.
Amen.
It's a blessing to stand for the Lord.
Amen.
If you ever do something for God, it's an honor, isn't it? But in our flesh, we get carnal, and we think we're going through trials or whatever. You know, we haven't gone through anything. Look what he did on the cross. We have no right to complain about any trials in this life, really, because he died for us so that we could have eternal life. So we're witnesses here, and if there's anybody that needs a Bible today or anybody that knows somebody needs a Bible today, there's Bibles here. I want you to feel free to use that resource that we have. Now, we're not just here proclaiming that the Bible is the Word of God. We're also here, and the church was established to be a witness that we believe God sent a prophet, a promised prophet, to this generation.
Amen.
Now, that is unusual. People say, what kind of church is it? Are you a full gospel church? I say, amen. Are you Pentecostal? Well, we're not a denomination, but we believe in the Pentecostal experience.
Amen.
Do you believe in the gifts of the Spirit? All of them.
Amen.
We want all 9 spiritual gifts to operate in the local assembly.
Amen.
Do we want to manufacture any of them? No. We want God to do it.
Amen.
So we are a full gospel, Bible-believing, old-fashioned, holiness, Pentecostal church, whatever you want to call it.
Amen.
But we're not part of a denomination. We're a local assembly. Now, what makes us different than many churches like that is we believe God sent a prophet to this generation.
Amen.
Now, people say, oh, well, we believe in prophets. Some people don't believe in prophets, but, you know, usually prophets scare people.
That's true.
When I first heard about a prophet, I said, oh, I don't want to follow a prophet, you know, because I'm thinking false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Right away, when you hear prophet, you think false prophet. But Isaiah prophesied of a voice crying in the wilderness. Is that right?
Amen.
So the word said, it promised a prophet was going to come.
Amen.
And John the Baptist was the literal interpretation of the word of God.
Amen.
He literally, his life was a manifestation of scripture.
Amen.
Now we believe that In Malachi 4, it promises before the great and dreadful day of the Lord that Elijah spirit that came in John, yes, would come again before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And we believe we're witnesses that God did it. The ministry came and went, see, and people didn't recognize it. But we're witnesses. We have 1,000 sermons there that people can listen to.
Amen.
Because we believe that a prophet doesn't really speak his thoughts, he speaks, the thoughts of God come into him. So that makes us different. And you know, there's little pamphlets, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the spoken word is the original seed. Sermons that you could take and listen to and give to people. Here's one I love for people. If you've never heard anything about Brother Branham, There's a sermon he preached called How the Angel Came to Me and His Commission. Because an angel of God, literally, like Gabriel went to Mary, an angel came to Brother Branham and gave him his commission. And here he is poor, he's uneducated, he doesn't have any ability to be anything in his own mind, and God chose him. See, that's kind of God chooses. When you think you have abilities, God can't use you. You got to get to the place where you realize you can't do anything, and then God can use you. And Brother Branham was born in that condition. He had a poor life. We have his life story books that you're welcome to take. There's over there. And it'll be a blessing to you to see his life story and see what happened. So we are witnesses, not only that the Bible's true, but the Bible was made manifest in this day, which matters. See, if someone has the Holy Spirit, how could they deny what the Holy Spirit's done in this day? Amen. See, that's the question. I'm not going to say people aren't Christians and they have to do this and have to do that. But if you have the Spirit of God and the Word of God was made manifest, how would you reject that?
Amen.
You might reject somebody has a bad spirit that is pushing something, but if the Holy Spirit presents truth, I think the Holy Spirit would accept it on the other side.
Amen.
See, so we know that we're witnesses here, and I just would encourage people, how the angel came to me in his commission. You have to make a decision. Either this man is lying, or an angel of God came to this man.
Amen.
And gave him a commission. And then the ministry took off, supernatural signs and wonders and miracles, well documented. Even people that are against Brother Branham will say, well, yeah, he was uneducated. Yeah, he wasn't right or anything. But if there ever was a ministry with powerful miracles, signs, and wonders, and if there ever was a humble man, it was Brother Branham. See, so people disagree with him, but he, out of their own mouth, they're testifying of what God did in his life.
Amen.
Here's a sermon that we have quantities of called Perfection.
Amen.
God called us to perfection. Didn't he?
Amen.
Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Amen.
So how can you be perfect? Here's a good sermon that tells you.
Amen.
And I'll give you a hint. You're not perfected in yourself.
Amen.
You're perfected through
Amen.
What he did for you.
Hallelujah.
Beautiful, beautiful sermon. Here's one of the only videos we have of Brother Branham. And back in the 50s, they recorded some of his, there's a copies of this you could see. And so it's all available, and I want people to use it and give it away, and we can always get more to give away.
Amen.
Because that's part of why we're here, to be a witness.
Hallelujah.
Do you realize if you've been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a witness inside of you.
Amen.
You're called to be a witness of truth that God has shown to you. The Holy Spirit in your life will never say, all right, you're saved, sit down and be quiet. No, that's not what's going to happen. You're going to realize that the Holy Spirit in your life calls you to be a witness of the truth that God has shown to you. And now, this is a man who's not Brother Branham. It doesn't even know about Brother Branham, but it was a Christian band. Bill Wise, who had, and I just gave one to Brother Samuel today. It's a testimony of how he had an experience in hell. And I want you to know, I believe this is true.
Amen.
I believe this man, by the sovereignty of God, was allowed to experience hell. And when he was there, it was taken from his mind that he was a saved man. So he experienced hell as a lost person. And when he came back, and all the things he said, you can go back to the Bible and say, that's scriptural, that's scriptural, that's scriptural, that's scriptural. And they looked at the clock, and it's called 23 minutes in hell, because that's how long it was. And I think it's a testimony worth, everyone should hear this. And if you have people that you know that aren't saved, and if there's someone not saved today, they should listen. There is a heaven, and there is a hell.
Amen.
And we're not playing around here. It matters what you believe. It matters what you do. What we do with the word, our attitude towards the Word of God will determine our eternal destination. Do we believe it's true? Do we accept God's pardon?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Sorry to take time, Brother Sam. So. It come on my heart, you know, and I just thought, you know, I never put anything on top of the Bible.
Amen.
That's just something about, it bothers me. When I see something on top of the Bible, I take it off. Because this is God's Word. It's a letter, and it won't do us any good unless the Spirit quickens it to us. But let's not put anything on top of the Bible. Don't put like other books on top of the Bible. Don't do that. All right, now we got a lot of rules and everything. Grace. We have no law but love, right? And no book but the Bible. That's really what I believe. But if the Bible testifies of a ministry in this day, and I'm witness, I'm going to point to that too. Hey, man, let's all stand. I'm going to turn over to Brother Sam today, and he can take his time. It's only 11:05. So normally we start at 11, so I took 5 minutes. Can we have grace today?
Amen.
Don't you appreciate what God's done in this generation? I really appreciate it. There's a lot of people that are not aware of what God has done, but He has let us in this little humble place be aware. So I want to share it with somebody.
Amen.
Amen. Only believe. All things are possible today.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Yes. Only believe. Only believe that all things are possible.
Say Jesus is here.
Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here.
Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly bow down and come to Thy throne of grace this morning. Lord, we are grateful, Lord, for this new day, this new sunshine in our lives. Lord, there were many that's in the world that wanted to see this day, but Lord, they have passed away. There are some that are lost, Lord. There are many that are lost in this world, Lord. But Father, we are so grateful and thankful to You for our lives today. That You kept us alive, Father. And brought us into Thine house, Lord, to serve You. To worship You, Father. To hear from You this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would come and bless Your people. You know their hearts, Lord, and You know their heart's desire this morning. I pray that You will meet every need, Father. Lord, strengthen every weak. Heal every sick person, Lord. Father, we need Your touch this morning. And Lord Jesus, we believe with all our hearts, Lord. Because, Lord, without faith, we cannot do anything. Lord, if there is any unbelief in us, Lord, I pray that You will help us this morning. Lord, take away that unbelief, Lord, which is sin. Father God, I pray that You will come and bless us. May You take over this service, Lord. Let something be said this morning to bless your people, to strengthen them, Lord, to uplift their faith and move forward, Lord. Help us this morning. We love you. We thank you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. I ask you to anoint my lips, and Lord, anoint the ears that are going to hear thy word this morning. Bless your precious word, Lord. Just like your prophet said, Lord, any man can turn the pages of the Bible and read your precious word, Lord, but it will take the power of the Holy Ghost to interpret to us what exactly it means, Lord. May your Holy Spirit come and take your precious word and, Lord, interpret to our hearts, Lord. May you do that today, and for we give you all honor and glory to you. We love you. We thank you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And all the saints said, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Good morning. While we stand, I would like you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. A very familiar scripture, but wonderful word of God. I believe the whole Bible is a precious word of God. Praise God. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43, you would like to read first 7 verses. If you are ready, we'll read together. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia for Sheba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back, bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. Isn't it wonderful? I have formed him, yea, I have made him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Thank you very much. You may be seated. I wish to greet every one of you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. And also, it is so good to meet my precious brothers and sisters, my friends. You know, it's been 4 years that I came to the United States. But I'm thankful to the Lord that God gave me this wonderful opportunity so that I could come and be with you, saints. I truly appreciate each one of you and for your prayers and for your help throughout these years, many, many years. And I have no words to say thank you. But the Lord knows my heart, and you saints are in our prayers and in our hearts. And we cannot forget what you saints have done since many, many years back. Before we go into the word of the Lord, I would like to share a few things that is on my heart, and I'm just doing this just to let you know what is happening in India. The situation is not good in that country, and it will be a very shocking thing to hear and to see. I got some videos in my phone. I can share it with you if you want, but you need a great strong heart to look into that videos, because There's a lot of persecution going on in the country of India. You know that the present government we have is an anti-Christian government. I don't know whether you are able to read and hear what is happening in that country, but I would let you know some things that is going on. And this is the second time he has been elected to be the prime minister of our country. And it is said and it is understood by everyone that that the electronic machines were manipulated and all the votes went to him. And he's in the office for the second term. And we will have another 4.5 years to bear with this man. And this government's policy is to make India, declare India as a Hindu state. In 1947, when the British left our country, they divided our country into two parts. And one part was Pakistan, and the other part was India. When Pakistan was divided, they straightaway went forward and declared it as a Muslim state. But India couldn't do that because of the democracy, and the India was Republican and democratic country, so they didn't declare it that way. But after 70 years, this government has come, which was eagerly waiting to come into power to do a lot of things. And my precious brothers and sisters, this government, one of the union ministers, federal government ministers, have declared it in the television news, and he said December 31st, 2021 is the last day for Christians and Muslims in the country of India. I can show you that video of the television news clipping, and he said either they have to convert it into Hinduism or leave the country or face the consequences. That is the situation right now. And the other thing, recently in three states in the northern part of India, I can name the states. One of them is the state called Rajasthan, Chhattisgarh, and Uttar Pradesh. These are the three states. They have shut down about 600 churches in the northern part of India. And they have beaten the ministers, pastors cruelly, treated their families cruelly, beaten their children cruelly. And they have no place to worship. They burned those churches. They destroyed those, you know, pews and everything, and left them destitute. But there's nothing that Christians can do in that country. In my state, very close to us, Bibles were burnt. My heart was rejoicing when Brother John took this Bible and he said, "We are here for a witness. Amen. We are here to give out Bibles to them that don't have." Let me tell you something. From the year 1986, my father is visiting United States and Canada. And there was a great man of God who went to be with the Lord about 2 years back. His name was Woosley. You know Brother Junior? His father. He sent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And we bought thousands and thousands of Bibles. I don't know, I don't remember how many thousands of Bible we distributed in Hindi language, in Marathi language, in Gujarati language, in Telugu language, and also in English language. I don't even remember how many thousands we did. But by the grace of God, bless his heart, he's on the other shore. But brother, sister, he was a great help until he couldn't do it. So he stopped several years before he passed away. But You know, to hand over the precious word of God is the greatest thing.
Amen. Amen.
This could save a life.
Amen.
This could give eternal life. Because Jesus said, my word is spirit and life.
Amen.
And I'm saying you people are still blessed.
Amen.
You can still give out the Bibles.
Amen.
You can have Bibles in your hands and carry it proudly. I don't know what is the future of America. What I hear, what I see, it looks very bad. But right now, you people are still blessed.
Amen.
But in that country, it is hard. It is becoming tougher because they are burning the Bibles. Recently, they killed a Catholic girl right in the middle of the street, beating her cruelly. Men beating a woman in the country of India, we have never seen it in the history. Country of India respects women, treats them like sisters, treats them like daughters, treats them like mothers. But now, just because of the faith they have in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have been pulled by their hairs on the streets, beaten, kicked down, put on the road. They put gas on them and burn them. I have a video I can show you to you. Recently, in the state of Orissa, a young preacher about in his mid-30s and his wife went to preach the gospel to the villagers. There they caught them. They were stripped of their clothes and beaten by more than 10, 15 men by sticks all over their bodies and paraded throughout the village, thousands of them watching them. The man was told to pick his wife and put on his shoulders and walk on the streets. He did it for some time, but they were beating him and he fell down. Then they told her to pick him up and walk on the street. And she could hardly walk for 2-3 steps and she fell down. No clothes on their body. My brothers, my sisters, I'm just letting you know that things are turning out to be very critical, very dangerous, and very bad. There are a lot of things that is happening. They are training young children about that size, that age, that little boy sitting there, or maybe like this. They're training them. I have a video that boy speaks. Said, by the help of their God, they're going to declare India as a Hindu state. They are removing Bibles and they are stopping to have prayer meetings in the Christian schools in India. They've already done it. They want Hindu gods' idols to be placed and they want prayers of Hindu gods to be prayed in the Christian schools. So it has also been said by a federal leader of the Hindu fascist leader, Mahasabha, Hindu Mahasabha leader, she said all Muslims and Christians should be forcibly sterilized. That means they don't want no child to be born to Muslims and Christians in that country. I have a video for that also. It's a television news. It's not lies. It is not cooked up stories. It is truth. And this is what they have declared in the country of India. I am just sharing these things, asking for your prayers.
Amen.
And nothing else. I want you to pray. And when you hear this kind of things, when this kind of things are happening in other parts of the world, brother, sister, when God has given you grace, when there is time, we better set things in order, better come closer to God and live for Him.
Amen.
That's my humble request. That's my prayer. And I believe you saints will uplift us in your prayers. And I surely appreciate that. My father sends his greetings to you. He tells, tell Brother John and all the saints that he loves you all with all his heart. Greetings from my family. Greetings from all the leper brothers and sisters and old aged and the little children that are under our care. They all send their love and greetings. You know, when I talk about all these things, I remember, you know, what is happening there, and I really become heartbroken, very nervous. There was a time I couldn't even preach in Tennessee. So I just, you know, shared what the Lord put it on my heart, and I sat down. But I pray that the Lord would help us today. Amen. You know, you pray for me as I stand before you. And I pray that God would put His word in my heart. And, you know, something, I want something, you know, would be said today that would bless you and, you know, help you to go forward. I want to speak on a little subject called faith in God will carry you. It is important for us in our lives to have faith. Amen. And we know that faith, there are different kinds of faith. And we are talking about the faith that comes from God. The book of Romans teaches us that faith, God gives His faith to His children by measure and by proportion. So, when you look at the scripture, we cannot deny that we don't have faith. Because the Bible says it has been given to us by measure and by proportion.
Amen. Amen.
So we all have little faith in our hearts because God has given to us. And I want you to, you know, read again with me as I read every scripture, every verse, because it speaks to us personally. Amen. Let us make this as personal to our lives. When I read verse 1, it says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee." Let us say, "For He hath redeemed me."
Amen.
Let it make it personal. And He says, "I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine."
Amen.
Aren't you happy when God speaks to our hearts and He tells us that you are mine?
Amen.
What a wonderful God we serve today.
Amen.
You know, we as a children of God, living in this present world, we need something to strengthen our lives.
Amen.
Actually, when I went into the office, Brother John, you know, I call him my big brother. He's older to me, 4 years. We were just talking in the car while coming. And right from the beginning, I always call him big brother because he's older to me.
Amen.
You know, when I went inside and I saw the first scripture that He has put on the wall, and He speaks about a high and lofty God dwelling with the humble spirit and reviving the broken hearts. And I turned my head and I saw scripture in Micah also speaks about humility. I said, "Oh my." Because when I left on 28th of September, when I left my home country, I just finished preaching 7 weeks on humility and meekness. And while coming, you know, I was thinking to speak on that. Take one of the portions and speak it today, if the Lord willing. But as I was bowing my head down and I started praying and I started asking, "Lord, what you really want me to say?" And this scripture came to my heart. You know, when I started reading this portion of the scripture, brothers and sisters, I got such a strength and I had such a comfort in my heart. Because my precious word, my Lord tells me, "For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine." And I'm thankful to the Lord that I don't belong to this world.
Amen.
I don't belong to nothing else. I belong to my Lord.
Amen.
He is mine and I am His.
Thank you, Lord.
Isn't it wonderful to see this? Because we are not complete without Him.
Amen.
And He is not complete without us.
Amen.
And brother, sister, He says, I have redeemed thee. It speaks about past tense. It's already been done.
Amen.
You know, as Brother John was showing, you know, his hand and pointing it to the cross, that's the only thing we have today to point people to.
Amen.
We cannot point people to our church. We cannot point people to anything else.
Amen.
Except than the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
And that's the best thing we can do. That's what our prophet also did. He pointed the people to the Christ, to the Lord, to the Calvary.
Amen.
And you know, that's the place that has redeemed us. Without Calvary, we would have been dead.
Amen.
And just like our brother, we were speaking, you know, while coming in the car, he said, Brother Sam, you know, if God starts counting our weaknesses, if God started to think about the mistakes and the sins we commit, who can stand in front of the Lord?
Amen.
Who can stand in His presence?
Amen.
My precious brothers and sisters, no human mankind can stand in the presence of God.
Amen.
You remember that story? I was trying to recollect that name, but I forgot. You know, he goes into the presence of God and he doesn't find his name. And the angel said, sorry, we can't find your name in this book. And he said, oh, I was an evangelist. I was this and I was that. And here comes the Lord Jesus walking. You know, what is this noise all about? You remember that story? I forgot the gentleman's name. He said, what is happening here? And the angel of the Lord says, Lord, he tells he was an evangelist. He was a preacher on the earth. And he wants to come in, but there is no name. And Jesus says, let him come. And as he walks with him, you know, little time, and then a great light shines, and a voice started speaking in that light. I still don't catch up with the name, I'm sorry. But you know, that voice started asking him, did you lie? This preacher from the earth, he put his head down and he was silent. Did you do this? Did you do this? Did you say this? Did you commit this? And for everything, he had no answer. Brother Branham says everything went in front of him just like a television. He started seeing everything that he did in his life. But my brothers, my sister, and the voice said, he's not fit to be here. Throw him out. But Jesus says, Lord, have mercy. This man stood for me on the earth, and I stand for him now. And brother, sister, it will take the grace of God.
Amen.
Upon our lives.
Amen.
And without His grace, without His mercy, we are not going to go anywhere.
Amen.
That's why we need to depend on the grace of God today.
Amen.
We need to depend on the mercies of our Almighty God. Because He said, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. I'm so glad He calls us. We are His.
Amen.
And verse 2, He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful?
Amen.
He says, I am thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. I like this verse too. He said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And the rivers will not overflow thee. So when you walk through the fire, we all are going through something today, isn't it?
Amen.
Every one of us got something to tell.
Yes, sir.
There is some kind of a difficulty.
Yes, sir.
There's some kind of a trouble.
Amen.
There is some kind of a, you know, sickness in every person that is sitting here in the body. I'm battling with the hypertension. and I have a severe, you know, terrible battle with my sugar sometime. Brother, it goes low and it trembles me. I feel like I will fall down. I will, you know, lose myself. We have some kind of battles. But let us take heart today. Let us, you know, take strength out of this portion of the Word of God. Because He said that I will be with you through the waters, through the rivers when you go through. And He said, when you walk through the fire, it will not burn you. The water will not overflow. It is not man speaking. It is not the promise of the man. It is the very promise of the Lord God Almighty, the one who said, you are mine.
Yes.
The one who has redeemed us. The one who has saved us. The one who has called us by our name. He said, I'm with you. I will never forsake you. He said, you know, in verse 7, He says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. Isn't it wonderful to read this scripture that God has created us for His glory?
Amen.
That means He will not, He said, I have formed Him. Yeah, I have made Him. And the scriptures above, He says, I will not forsake thee. I will not leave you. God doesn't run business like people, isn't it?
Amen.
He will not save you today and lose you next month. That's not the way God does His business.
Amen.
Brother Branham says, once you are saved, you are saved.
Amen.
You can read in the Hebrew series and how He brings those things beautifully. He placed those things in such a beautiful order. He says, once you are saved forever.
Amen.
My brothers, my sisters, that doesn't mean, that does give us the license, you know, to carry on our life the way we want to. No, sir. We have to be sure of our election and calling.
Amen.
We need to work out our salvation with fear, the Bible says. But overall, we need to have faith in Him.
Amen.
Because our faith is the one that will, you know, carry us.
Amen.
A great preacher, a renowned apologist, Dr. Ravi Zacharias says one time, he said, if you are a praying Christian, your faith in God will carry you. That's what he said. If you are not a praying person, you will try to carry your faith. Just think about it. If you are a praying person, if you are a praying Christian, then your faith in God will carry you. But if you are not a praying person or a praying Christian, then you will try to carry this faith. And that's why you find yourself struggling always. That's why you try, you know, to do right and you cannot do it. Why? Because it's not your faith in God. If we are praying people, do you believe in prayer?
Yes. Amen.
Oh, brother, sister, we need to pray more today.
Amen.
Especially times like this.
Amen.
In West Jefferson, you know, if you know Brother Lindsay McGrady, I started speaking on being a prisoner to the Lord. And then, you know, the Lord put it on my heart to say it about the tithing. Do we all believe in paying tithes?
Amen, brother. Amen.
Amen. I believe too. I would like to just let you know, I paid 33% this year. I was in great financial problem years back. Every time there was a pulling and, you know, arguments between me and my wife about the money. It's not sufficient. It's problem every time. And one day, I was so stressed out, I began crying. I said, Lord, I have been doing everything I can for my wife and children. And I try to be careful with money. But Lord, I want help. And I said, Lord, I was praying that day on my knees. I said, Lord, if you bless me, you know what? I will start paying more every year. I'll increase it. I want to do like my prophet did. You remember Brother Branham? By the time he passed over, he paid 90%. Just kept 10% for him. And 90% he gave off to the Lord. Do you remember that? I said, Lord, I promise you to do that. You bless me, Lord.
Amen.
I said, from now, from 10 to I will go to 13%. 1-3. And from that time, from that month, I started giving 13% to God. And each time, each year, January 1st, I increase 3% or 2% every year. And now this year, 2019, I am paying 33% to God. And you tell me, I have no problems about money. I have no arguments from that time on.
Amen.
I believe I'm a man in giving to God.
Amen.
Because every time I give something to God, I'm putting it, depositing it in the heavenly bank.
Amen.
You believe in paying tithes?
Amen.
God bless you all for that.
Amen.
The ones who said amen specially.
Amen.
There are 24 hours in a day. Is it right?
Amen.
There are 24 hours a day, right?
Amen.
Then we have to give tithings of the time also.
Amen.
That means 2 hours and 40 minutes every day you have to spend with your God.
Amen. That's good, brother. Amen.
Not many says amen.
Amen.
Not everyone can say amen to it.
Amen.
You know, you can read for hours.
Yes,
you can preach for hours. You can do a lot of things for hours and hours and hours. You cannot pray.
Amen.
My prophet said you need the Holy Ghost to pray.
Amen.
Without the Holy Ghost, a person cannot pray.
Amen.
And that's why we need more prayer today.
Amen.
We need more closer walk with God.
Amen.
We need to get on our business.
Amen.
Go on our knees. We don't believe in theology, but we believe in neology.
Amen.
We must be people, you know, who will love to go on our knees and pray.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's very thin.
Amen.
There's maybe 5-10 people saying amen slowly to that.
Amen.
I know it's hard. But brother, if you're not going to pray, if you're not going to talk to our Lord, it's difficult.
Amen.
Just imagine husband not talking to wife or wife not talking to husband. Just imagine that. And he's our husband today. We need to do more talking than anybody else today.
Amen.
We need to talk more with our Lord. And that's why we need to have prayer life.
Amen.
I was just reading a quote, Brother Branham. He said, Jesus was the Son of God, Word made flesh. He being the Son of God, he took time to pray. He went aside to pray. He prayed for hours and hours. If the Son of God, the Word became flesh, if he had to pray, how much more we need to pray today?
Amen.
Don't worry, it's the same problem in India also in my church. You know, people will amen, people will clap hand, people will stand up, people will raise their hands and say, amen, preach it. But when it comes to prayer, when it comes to the sensitive nerve,
yes,
when it is touched, nobody would like to move. Nobody would like to say anything.
Amen.
So I don't mind. If you are quiet, I don't mind.
Amen.
But this is a fact. This is the truth. We need to come to realize that we need prayer in our lives.
Amen.
We need to start our day with prayer. We need to end our day with prayer. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray all the time.
Amen.
Whenever we can, we must pray.
Amen.
So if you are a praying Christian, that shows you believe in God and your faith in God will carry you.
Amen.
No matter you're walking through the waters, through the rivers, it will not overflow you. If you're going through the fire, it will not burn you. Why? Because he said, you are mine, I am with you, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you.
Amen. Amen.
What we need today, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 6 says, be strong and of a good courage, fear not.
Amen.
Nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee.
Amen.
Are you glad for this word?
Amen.
Amen.
He will not leave thee altogether, neither he will forsake thee.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He wants us to be strong.
Hallelujah.
And be of good courage. Let not that fear come in our hearts.
Amen.
You know why fear comes? When there is no perfect love in our hearts. That's the time fear comes. Amen. If you really loved your Lord, your God, you will never fear.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Never fear. Never fear to die.
Amen.
I was just, you know, reading some things this morning. I will come to that. But Brother Branham, you know, he talks about that hidden power. And he talks about David and, you know, killing lion and Goliath. He talks about Samson, you know, killing, you know, those people, thousands of them. And the power he had in his life. He speaks about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, who were thrown into the fire.
Amen.
He speaks about Daniel. Brother, sister, how that power was hidden in his life.
Amen.
These were the people chosen by God. These were the people who are prophets and servants of Almighty God. These were the children of God. And look at us today. Who are we? We are not only his children. We are not only his people. We are his wife.
Amen.
We are the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are part of his word.
Amen.
Can you imagine? We are his wife sitting here on this earth.
Amen.
And he wants us to be strong and be courageous.
Amen.
We should not be afraid of them. When I was reading this scripture in the office, I told myself, I said, I thank you, Lord, for giving me strength and comfort.
Amen.
Because, you know, I'm facing to go back home. I came for a very short trip because Dad alone cannot handle all those situations there. Because it's too much pressure. Officers coming and, you know, inspection and this and that, knowing that this is a Christian organization taking care of the orphans, you know. They came to one to the orphanage one day, and, you know, they come in 3-4 sometimes, and sometimes 6-7 of them. They come at a time like that, and they take children in different, you know, ways, and they ask them different questions. And one boy was asked, are you forced to read the Bible? Are you forced to go to this church? Are you forced to pray? Thank God that boy said, no, I have no pressure, no force from anybody. But do you read the Bible? He said, yeah, I read sometime. He said, don't read the Bible. That's what the officer said right in front of me. One of the orphan boys. He said, hereafter, don't read the Bible. You don't have to go to church. I said, sir, how can you say this to my children? How can you do this to me? Right in the office. They were there for almost 4 hours that day, inspecting everything. We have to keep their food register. We have to keep their movements register. We have to keep their, going to school and coming back, their attendance. We have to keep their medical file, every child individual file. We have to keep every, so we keep books, 19-20 registers, you know, big ones, every day. By the end of the day, we must up to keep the books up to date before we sleep. Because if they come early morning, they need to know that everything was updated. So they left after 4 hours, and I asked the boy, I said, hey son, come here. What do you think about that officer talking to you? He said, Dad, you know, previously I used to read the Bible sometimes. Sometimes I didn't. I said, now what are you going to do? He said, Daddy, from this time, after that officer told me not to read the Bible, I will read the Bible more.
Amen.
I literally stood there, brother. I cried. I said, Lord, I thank you for your grace.
Amen.
That young man, he's just 19 years old. He says, Daddy, I will read the Bible more than ever before. I said, bless your heart, son. He said, don't you ever forget to read your Bible. Because our prophet said, you know, a good Christian, he will read his Bible and pray every day. He said, never stop praying. Never stop, you know, reading the Bible.
Amen.
And what comforts us? What gives us courage? What gives us strength? Walk closer, walk with God.
Yes. Amen.
Fear not. Be of good courage. Don't fear, don't be afraid of them. I took this word personally to me. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 11, it says, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee." Isn't it great?
Amen.
See, it's no wishy-washy statement.
Amen, brother.
It is, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
He says, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." That means what we will do, we will pay dearly. God is not a respecter of any person. Even though David was a prophet, he was a king, when he committed wrong, he had to pay, my brother, my sister. But he says, "I'm with thee." Are you happy about it?
Yes.
If these things doesn't excite us, then nothing will excite us, brother, sister. "I am with thee." Such a confident statement. Said the Lord, why is with us? To save us.
Amen.
Amen. He will not leave us.
Amen.
He says, though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee. You know, recently, last week, I think October 10th, 9th and 10th, you remember something happened the Day of Atonement in Israel? If I'm not wrong, somebody told me 90 million Jews arrived into Jerusalem. I think there was atonement. There is a Hebrew word for that. Yom Kippur. It is a day of atonement. 90 million people coming back to Israel. People all over the streets, all over the country. For the day of atonement. Praying everywhere. And one of the rabbis, he stood up amongst the people and said, "We know that Messiah is here in the word form."
Whoa. Whoa.
Imagine. One of the rabbis says, "I know the Messiah is here right in our midst in the form of the word."
Amen.
If a Jew can speak this. And remember, Paul, 1 week he was speaking to the Jews. Another week you find out he's amongst the Gentiles. So how much time he took to go from Jews to Gentile? If I'm not wrong, a week's time. Can you imagine, my brothers, my sister? We are here today worshiping God. We are here today listening to the word of God. We are here, you know, worshiping Him.
Amen.
What about next Sunday if he turns to the Jews?
Oh my. Amen. Amen, brother.
What happens? Of course, as a child of God, we have the promise today.
Amen.
We have the word today. Amen. And the Bible says we have more sure the word of prophecy.
Amen.
We don't have to fear anymore.
Amen.
Because he said, "I am with thee." Do you believe he is with you?
Amen.
He's in you.
Amen.
He's in us.
Amen.
For what? To save us.
Amen.
Oh, what a wonderful God he is.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. No one spoke like this. No one gave assurance like this.
Amen.
No one gave me strength or comfort like this.
Amen.
He says, "Even though I have scattered thee, yet I will not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure." If you're going through a process of troubles and trials and difficulties and sickness, God is trying to correct us.
Amen.
I was talking to Sister Yawns just 2 days back, and you know, she was worried about her grandchildren. She was worried about the sickness of her husband. Brother Billion said, no, he's becoming feeble. He's coughing. He's got a heart attack, and he's got stents in him. You know, he's becoming more feeble day by day. And you know, a lot of pressure, a lot of that. I said, do you believe that we are going to inherit the throne of God? She said, I do believe with all my heart, my son. I said, then, if you're going to inherit the kingdom, I mean the throne, then it's not easy. I said, remember Joseph and the suffering he had to go through. God gave him dreams, gave him visions, and he began to share with his father, mother, and his older brothers. And everybody was envied. Everybody was upset and angry with him. But he was just trying to share what God told him. Because of the jealousy, his brother threw him in the pit, sold him, took his coat dipped in the animal's blood, came back to the father, told him he was dead, some wild beast had killed him, but they sold him. And yet he comes to Egypt and he suffers. He goes to the prison, not because he committed anything wrong. He was righteous in his acts, in his ways. Brother, sister, but he was suffering all through. He was taken as a slave. He was put in the prison with no reason, with no mistake that he has committed. But he was suffering. And at the end, exactly the way the dreams and the vision were told them, it happened the same way. But to get to that place, he had to go through suffering. And God is correcting his bride, his wife, measure by measure.
Amen.
You may think, day after day, it is like a blow upon the blow in my life. Yes, he is taking one day at a time.
Amen.
Just to correct you.
Amen.
Every day you wake up, there is a correction. He's trying to put us in a right way. He says, but I will correct thee in a measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. So we are going through some things that is to correct us, to make us right. Brother Branham says, God, take us away from this sense-bound existence. Carry us out there in those realms where all things are possible. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to, you know, get out of the sense-bound existence. We have to live in faith.
Amen.
That's why Bible says we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Think about Stephen when he was bought and he was being stoned. And he started calling upon the name of the Lord. And saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He was full of Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He looked up steadfastly into heaven. And he saw the glory of God. Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The Bible never said he died. The Bible said he was asleep. And Brother Branham says, Stephen had such a blessing in him. So much blessing in him. He said, when they were stoning Stephen, he had so much blessing. He said, he had so much hidden power. Till Stephen became another person. Looked up, seen Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Never even felt a clod. A clod is a chunk or a mass. When they were hitting, you know, stones at him, his body, the chunks or the mass, he says, when it boned him in the head, he said, why, I can see Stephen there. He knelt down, his enemies spitting on him and everything else. He raised up, looked up to heaven, and he said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. I forgive them, Father, so much of the blessing on the inside of him. What happened? He said, the heavens opened up. that little spirit was on him, opened the way through the clouds, through the stars, through the mist, until he seen Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He said, "Behold, I see heavens open." He said, "Brother Branham, I would rather have all those things." He said, "Rest of the thing, education, money, everything, I will drop here. I will leave everything here. But the hidden power, that thing that made the certainty of the gospel, will take you to heaven and carry you through the valleys of the shadows of death." My brothers, my sisters, that's why we need to have faith in God today.
Amen.
And the power of this gospel will bring such a hidden power in us. And this power will carry us through.
Amen.
Let me tell you one real story, which I was into yesterday. Yesterday, whole day was traveling. Not yesterday exactly, day before yesterday. I was in Johnson City, very close to Johnson City, Tennessee. But I had to travel three and a half hours to Roanoke. Have you ever heard Brother Sam Kinzer? His wife, sister, Carol Kinzer. She's in bad shape. Before anything happened, she was listening to the prophet. And while she was listening, are you listening? Are you with me?
Amen.
I hope you are not bored.
No, brother.
No.
Thank you. Several years back, months back, before anything could happen, anything was diagnosed on her body. She was listening to the prophet one day. And as she was listening to the prophet, something came from the inside and she made a statement, said, "My journey is over." Just simply she spoke out. And as soon as she finished making this statement, Brother Branham, he speaks from the message, "Journey is over." Can you imagine what God can do to the child of God? And a month later, or month or so later, she had some pain in her back. She has to go to the hospital. So they said, "Let's take MRI. There was a big lump in her spine. And they operated, took that lump away. 8 hours operation. Then the next day, they operated on her again and took a lump on her back. Then they wanted to do some more tests. And when they did, they found out cancer in her bowels, in her lungs, all over. And the doctor said, "Nothing can be done." When I heard this, I wanted to see her because I was in Tennessee, you know, close by. And if something happens to her, you know, if I don't go and see her, I said to myself, I will never forgive myself. So I requested Brother Bill Yons and I said, "I would like to see her. If there is a way we can make it, I would like to go and visit and pray for her." So he said, "Oh, we want to see her too." So he said, "Let's go tomorrow." I said, "Fine." So we just made plans and we went. Whole day we were traveling. 4 hours coming back, and we were there. And as I stepped into that room, there was such a peace in that hospital room. She was so happy. She was smiling. Cancer all over. Doctor said nothing can be done. No radiation, no chemo, nothing. This week, they're going to send her to some nursing home in Gilax, Virginia, just to, you know, handle her situation. But she said, "Don't pray for me that God would heal me. I know God is a healer. He can heal me. I know. I believe." But she said, "The Lord told me my journey is over." And she told me, "Brother Sam, just pray that God will take away this pain in my body. And I'm ready to go." She said, "I'm ready. I'm missing my Sam." That is her husband. He said, "I'm missing my Sam. I want to go and see him. I want to be in his presence, my God's presence." When I saw her, I said, "Lord, what a confidence, what a comfort, what a strength you give to your people."
Amen.
When a woman, when a sister lying on the deathbed knowing that she would go, doctor gave her only 6 months. But it doesn't look like that. It may be early. But let me tell you, brother, sister, she said, I'm ready to go. Just pray that God would take away this pain from my body so that I could lay in peace here and talk to my children, my grandchildren, and be happy with them for a little while, and then God can take me whenever He wants. She told me to pray. What could I pray? She already told me not to pray for her healing because she knows her journey is over and she's going. And I told Sister Yans, I said, she was crying. She was crying all 3 days since I went, talking about this sister, because they're best friends since 1970. Brother, sister, I told her, I said, you know what? Let me tell you, Mama. Don't pray that God would keep her. You pray like this, Lord, let your will be done Amen. In her life. Amen. And you know, it helped her. Sometimes, I remember that story very well. Is it okay, Brother John? A few more minutes. I always remember that story. You remember that lady comes and stands before Brother Branham? And Brother Branham says, you're not for yourself here. You're for your daughter. And she is in so-and-so place. And Brother Branham says, she died when she was little. He said, you're a Christian, and you prayed, and you prayed, and you prayed, and brought her back. Amen. He said, if you let Lord take her away when she was little, said she would have been in a better place. But Brother Branham says, because you prayed, and you prayed, and you got her back, today she's become a prostitute. And you're standing here for her. I remember that always. And I had three different times or seasons in my life to pray for the sick. One was my grandmother. Doctors had no hopes and they put her on ventilator. It's 10 days past. I said, Lord, I remember my prophet teaching me, let not my grandma suffer like that. If it is your will, take her away. Let her be in peace. So they signed papers and they, you know, I had to talk to the doctors. We brought her home and within 5 minutes she's gone. We need to let the will of the Lord be done. Amen. The second thing was my mother-in-law. She had multiple organs failure. They put her on ventilator. I went into her, into the ICU, and you know, when she saw, she started crying. I could see her tears rolling, you know, and she started bringing her hands together, and I understood she wanted me to pray. My wife was standing the other side of the bed. I was standing on the other side, and I said, Mother, you want me to pray for you? She said, yes. And I just laid my hand on her hand. I said, Lord, I commit this mother into your hands. You know what best can be done, so I commit her to you, and let your will be done and your name be glorified. When I came out of the ICU, my wife, she began to argue with me, and she said, I'm praying for my mother. She said, asking God. She fell on the ground on her face and fasting day and night for healing. And when I saw that mother suffering, I just prayed, I commit her into God's hand. I said, Lord, let your will be done and you receive glory from this. My wife had an argument and she fussed with me. She said, why didn't you pray for her healing? I said, the Lord led me to do pray like this. And I prayed. Within 2 days, God took her away. My wife didn't pray, didn't read her Bible for over a month because she was upset with God. My brothers, my sister, sometimes we are so foolish, you know. We beg and we fight and we fight and we fight. Lord, I want this, I want this, I want this. Why don't we commit situations into God's hand? Amen. Let Him take over and take care of it because He knows better than us. Amen. My young brothers and sisters, dear brothers and sisters, let us push into God's hand. Amen. Let us trust in Him. Let us put our faith in Him.
Amen.
It will carry us. Amen. We don't have to carry ourselves. We don't have to carry all these things.
And the third season was my own mother. Brother, she suffered. Sister, she suffered. 45 days. Day and night I stayed with my mother until the time she was taken into ICU. And they told me, said, sign those consent papers. And I began to sign. I took 45 minutes thinking. He said, gentlemen, what are you thinking about? If you sign, we'll start treating your mother. I prayed. I said, Lord, I just committed to you now. It's nothing in my hands, nothing in our hands. And I signed those papers. My father was not willing. He was crying. He was sitting outside. And I signed her papers. By evening, God took her away. My brothers, my sisters, that hidden power, it carried Stephen. The Bible says he didn't die, he slept. That faith in God, that power of God opened up that way and took him through the environment, through the atmosphere, through the stars and to the galaxies, right there where he saw heavens open and he saw Jesus standing there. And he says, I see Jesus standing there. They begin to gnash his teeth. They begin to stone him. And he fell asleep. The angels of God came and packed him up. Just read one quote and then close, my brother, my sister. Brother Branham, in the message called Gifts, in paragraph 64, 65, I'd like to read that and then close with prayer. When Peter, James, and John had received power, Jesus gave them power to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to raise the dead. I can show you where God gave that power to the church. And you don't believe in divine healing or miracles, show me where he took it away from the church when they received this. Listen to this very carefully. The church today isn't needing power. It's needing faith to operate what power it has. Are you with me, saints?
Amen.
Brother Branham says the power has already been given to us. The church of the living God doesn't need the power. It is already there. But what it needs is faith.
Amen.
To operate it. Amen. You have had so much embalming fluid pushed into you that the days of miracles is past. And some old cold morgue with the icicles, spiritual icicles, hanging down with 90 below zero. And somebody in there with some dead fluid to pump into you to be sure that you stay dead. It has become such a place till the Spirit of God has been grieved. And any church that denies the supernatural, it will die as sure as I am standing this pulpit. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is alive. And he is the same yesterday, today and forever. In every principle and power, he is a living Christ. When these disciples had received this power, look at it. It just lays in man. Oh, they thought they were dignified. And they go right out a few days later and find themselves helpless before an epileptic. They could not cast the devil out. They had the power. They received it. But when they stood before that epileptic demon, they were failures. And Brother Branham said, they didn't have enough faith to operate that power. I believe we are in that same situation today. We have the power.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
But we don't have faith.
Amen.
To operate that power.
That's,
and that's why we are struggling. But the scripture told us he's with us. The Bible tells us he's in us.
Amen.
And he said he will not leave us. He will not forsake us.
Amen.
He's in us. He's with us to save us.
Amen.
He's with us. He's in us to save us. We are his children. We are his bride. We are his wife. My brothers, my sister, may these things encourage you this afternoon and help you and to walk courageously, fearlessly, asking God to give us more grace.
Yes.
give us wisdom
Amen.
To operate this power.
Amen.
Wisdom to walk victorious. May God help us. Brother John, please. Do you love him this afternoon?
Yes.
Amen. God bless you all. I would like to say what God has placed on my heart, I've just shared it with you.
Amen.
I hope I didn't take much of your time. Forgive me if I did. But I had a lot of things to say.
Amen.
But may God bless you and may God help you.
Amen.
If you don't see me back again on this earth, brother, look for me on the other show.
Amen.
I will be there.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I trust you got something today.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking about how he was calling us to prayer. You know, Brother Diggs was here recently with the same message.
Yes.
Amen.
Call to prayer. So it's not Brother Sam, and it's not Brother Diggs, it's not me. It's God calling us to prayer.
Amen.
I think we can all say we could pray more.
Yes.
Amen.
And we need that. Let's all stand. And remember, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
Amen.
See, if you feel a little chastened today, you should say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for reminding me of what's important. Thank you for calling me back to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. there was one other scripture I'll share. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Amen.
If you're going to live for God, you're going to suffer persecution.
Amen.
But it all goes with it. See, it just goes with it. We should feel honored to suffer with him.
Amen.
That's how they were in the book of Acts when they beat them. They praised God that they were counted worthy
Amen.
To suffer for him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message today, Lord. I believe you are speaking directly to us, Lord. Brother Sam, not knowing anything about our situation, about individuals here, Lord, and I can see, Lord, you are speaking directly to us, calling us closer to yourself, Lord, to pray more earnestly. Lord, we're going to pray for India, Lord. We're going to pray for the saints in India. And Lord, we're trusting that you've set up a situation there where you're going to manifest your power with the saints of God as the persecution comes on them, Lord. Glorify yourself, Lord, and watch over your saints in India. Bless them, Lord. May you rebuke all the powers of the enemy that tried to persecute them. Keep them safe, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the ministry there. We want to continue to be part of that.
Amen.
Bless each one here today, Lord. May we not leave here and be the same, but may you change us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Truly draw us closer to yourself. Help us, Lord,
yes,
that we could just come to you daily, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And not try to do it ourselves, but by praying, understanding, in faith that you're going to carry us. Thank you, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. 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 All things are possible. If we're going, let's sing that to the Lord. Yes, only believe. Only believe. Only believe that all things are possible. Yes, only believe, only believe that all things are possible. Only, let's sing, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe that all things are possible. Lord, I believe. possible. Lord, let's sing, Lord, I receive now. Yes, Lord, I receive. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I receive that all things are possible. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. And all things are possible. Lord. Finally, let's sing Jesus here. You believe he's here today? For Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And all things are possible. 'Cause Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And all things possible. Jesus.